This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hear what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hear what's that
sound? All right, here is what you chose for Hillary Clinton's worst moment of the debate.
That is just not accurate. I was against it once it was finally negotiated and the terms were laid out. I wrote about that in...
You called it the gold standard.
You called it
the gold standard of trade deals. You said it's the finest deal you've ever seen.
No.
And then you heard what I said about it, and all of a sudden you were against it.
Charles?
Well, in fact, she did call it the gold standard. And this one exchange, this one issue, exemplifies all that's wrong with the Clinton candidacy. She obviously is not saying the truth. She changed her mind on it, which can happen, but it's obvious that she changed her mind only because she was being hit by Sanders on this issue and because Trump was having such success in coming out against a trade that all public opinion has turned against a trade. There's no candidate on either side of any stature who was defending free trade. So she accommodates, she listens to which way the wind, she puts her finger up to feel which way the wind is blowing, and she goes that way. That was her low point.
Talk to business leaders, that's pretty remarkable about the fact that neither nominee is really defending it wholeheartedly.
Charles Krautheimer brings out a clear point here, and this is the problem with Hillary Clinton, and her message gets drowned out because you just can't believe her. It's like Susan Rice, you know, I can't hear Susan Rice anymore after what she did to us regarding Benghazi, going on five, television shows, and nowhere along the line has she come back. Has there been any plausible out she's just took a bullet for the team, and meanwhile, her credibility is lost. I'm sorry, I just don't want to hear her. And same thing with Hillary Clinton. For her, and she said it so convincingly. I mean, just like everything else, just like Benghazi, just like her scandals, everything that's about her foundation, this is symptomatic. This is a perfect case in point of Hillary's worldview, that it's okay to misrepresent things. I mean, she claims to know everything, but conveniently forgets certain things, whether it has to do with testimony and all that, and... interestingly, she was able to remember that she did have 11 hours of testimony, in Congress. That's good. But other things she couldn't remember, like whether or not she was, given any kind of indoctrination about top secret emails, about private servers and that sort of thing. It's just on and on. But she tells you with a straight face. And so you go, wow. I mean, she is such a consummate liar that I don't know if she saw the truth. She's so confused, I don't know that she would even know what the truth is. Because, this is the thing that's so dangerous about her and why she figures that she has so much latitude in doing these pay-for-play kind of deals. And the other thing is that with Barack Obama, I mean, this goes up to him. I mean, this is one of the questions that's going to be asked of James Comey later today as he goes before Congress, because they're saying, hey, look it, buddy, we need to know what happened here. I mean, we've got some questions to ask you. In fact, Sarah Westwood from the Washington Examiner cites five questions. Why did Cheryl Mills need an immunity agreement to cooperate with the FBI, for example? Did the FBI know about the suspicious Reddit post, which were quite revealing, that really gives you the underbelly of what was going on with Hillary Clinton's private server and some of the, inside track of what was going on. Why did two of Clinton's lawyers receive immunity deals? Heather Mills and Heather Samuelson, why were they given? And was anyone at the White House questioned about their knowledge of the server? Buried in the 189 pages of notes the FBI released last week was the revelation that President Obama had communicated with Clinton on her private server, are you ready for this, using a pseudonym. I mean, these people, they cause you to put tinfoil on top of your head because all of a sudden you're a conspirator because you're following the truth. It continues with frustration. Bill Martinez, we're live.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, if it's going to happen, it's going to be up to me and you, okay? The problem with our government is us, we the people. We've ignored our responsibilities. And we want to claim our rights, but we want to forget that, look at this, a government of for and by we the people. We disengage. The elites are happy to take over. And look at, hey, they're living fat and happy. The rest of us are working three jobs. They're working one job, basically, and hardly, and saying, look, we're still not paying them enough. And their attitude and arrogance is such that, they deserve more because they're just so brilliant and so special. But meanwhile, we just keep getting deeper in debt. And God forbid we ask for accountability or, oh, my goodness, a return on investment. I mean, isn't this considered an investment, the kind of money that we're pouring out of the Treasury because they've got such great, brilliant ideas? Bad business deal, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you, that's what it is. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here. Our next guest is a veteran newsman, Donald Mazzella, been laying warnings about North Korea's atomic test in recent months and predicted they would advance missile technology. And, he believes that they could hit us by 2020, not that far down the road. Donald Mazzella, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, good to have you here. You say North Korea is set to attack. Are we going to look at North Korea like we did with ISIS and just ignore them and hope that maybe they go away or maybe the Chinese might put enough pressure on them to change their evil ways?
Well, the Chinese haven't done it so far, and it doesn't look as if they're going to change their attitude. North Korea represents for the Chinese a thorn in our side that should fixate our efforts as they move into Southeast Asia and Asian waters.
Yes.
The Chinese are playing a very good game on this. We focus our anger on North Korea while they run free in other parts of the country. It's a very interesting time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you bring up a good point here, Donald, that, this could be a bargaining chip, for China. Meanwhile, as they're building an island off their coast, a military island, they continue to do so with impunity. And it's like while America continues to sleep and ignore, they're building up quite an island, claiming claiming that they now own those waters. They're no longer international. They are warning this is all potentially pretty crazy. So they could say, look, we'll help you with North Korea, but we need you to leave us alone and what we're building out here.
Yeah, that's a very accurate way of stating the situation. The Chinese, a couple of weeks ago, cracked down on a Chinese company that was providing many of the tools for North Korea to move ahead with their rocket development and their nuclear development. It's a dangerous situation because the North Koreans really have nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. If you contrast the two nations, North Korea and South Korea, once their people see the prosperity of the South, at some point it's going to be a revolution. It's not happening now. But I also want to point out a very important thing. As effective business people and organizers the South Koreans are, so are the North Koreans. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they have taken a path towards austerity and bellicose armed attacks rather than what the South Koreans did, which is build up a fantastic economic juggernaut. So at some point, the contrast between North and South is going to create cracks in North Korea, which the dictators will try to keep under wraps by finding an enemy, much as the Russians have done. And that enemy is the United States. Right. And it's no question that the rocket they're developing is designed to hit at least the west coast of the United States, if not as far as Washington.
Exactly.
They say they're going to build a space rocket, but it's how you set the trajectory that will decide where it goes.
Well, Donald, we know right now there's a dirty bomb out there. United States intelligence officers will tell you that they've lost a bomb, and at least one, and there could be several. We have no idea whose hands it's in, and when you've got something out there, hanging loose, the highest bidder, whoever could come up with it, and now we're talking all kinds of problems because you got to know if there's a bomb and it gets in the wrong hands, guess who it's going to be targeted to?
Yes. That's unfortunate, but the problem with a new intercontinental missile is you have to make the bomb small enough to fit in the nose cone, and one critical element, you must develop a nose cone that protects the bomb on reentry. Mm-hmm. And I'm told the main problem that the North Koreans have is developing that nose cone. Mm-hmm. Once they develop that, the sky's the limit, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Well, they keep trying. You know, Kim Jong-un, he has a scientist out there working on it, and when it doesn't work, you know, he kills them, so then they got to start all over again. I mean, he just doesn't like failure.
No, he doesn't. he looks like a clown, but he's far from a clown. He's been raised ruthlessly. Mm-hmm. To be a ruthless person, and he is, he executed his uncle in
yes.
recent weeks. There's a lot going on. Americans should be very concerned about North Korea, mm-hmm. and the next president, whoever he or she is, will face some sort of problem within the first year. If they don't do something in the next 4 months, they wait until the inauguration, we are going to have a major problem. But ironically, as many intelligence people say, the problem will not be North Korea so much as China making a, and you put it very well, by the way, making a deal with us. We'll take care of North Korea. You let us into the South China Sea. It's going to be... either way, there are stark choices for America, and right now it doesn't seem as if we have an appetite for it.
Well, this has been a problem. I mean, as the saying goes, you may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you, and war abounds at every turn here, Donald, as you see it. Whether it's Russia's aggressive moves in the Middle East, ISIS continues to run rapid, and we're realizing what the president characterized as a JV team is far from that. These guys got it figured out. They know what they're doing, and we continue to keep our head in the sand and ignore the obvious. And as you say, the can is kicked down the road and it gets more and more complicated. This is what Bill Clinton did with Bush, if you remember. Donald Mazzella has been our guest. Donald, thank you so much for sharing with us. North Korea set to attack. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 15 after the top of the hour.
I grew up in a family with 9 kids. I must have been the fastest eater because I was the only one that was chubby. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. When I was growing up, almost no one was overweight. I have maintained my weight pretty well since then. As I get older, the 10-2-1-2 weight loss system is making it much easier to control my weight. It curbs my appetite, gives me energy, and even improves my mood. Maybe 10-2-1-2 could help you. Go to ilikethewayilook.com and check it out for yourself. That's ilikethewayilook.com.
It started at bunco night. A little tickle my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin, barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
You are what you eat? No, not true. You are what you can absorb, because not absorbing nutrition leads to nutritional deficiency and degenerative diseases. Medication does not fix nutritional deficiencies, and North American soil is now 85% nutritionally depleted. That means your body is not getting the vitamins it needs from just grown foods. Introducing Protovite, the world's first and only full-spectrum protosomal supplement. Protovite is a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. That's rapid absorption. Then Protovite liquid continues to release sustained nutrition in the stomach, intestines, and colon over a prolonged period of time. See Protovite in action. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video today at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Or call 502-410-3411. 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Are the answers to your present and future hidden in your past? Akashic readings help you learn to unlock the answers for love, finances, weight loss, self-esteem, confusion, grief and loss, and more. Akashic email readings by Dr. Kelly Maroon, PhD, are specially priced right now. Learn more at Dr. Kelly Maroon's website, akashicuniversal.com, spelled A-K-A-S-H-I-C universal.com. Change your life today. Become one with your true path with intention on purpose. Visit akashicuniversal.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
What would you think if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or any one of the 280-plus affiliates we have around this country or around the world via shortwave, welcome. to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you along with us. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. I got a real treat for you right now. Pippa Mann is with us, a British racing car driver who competes in the Verizon IndyCar Series. She was born in London and began her career in 2003 after signing a three-race contract with Manor Motorsports to race in the Winter Series of the British Formula Renault Championship. And her hair has been on fire, and she's been nonstop racing since then. And we're going to be talking about October as National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Pippa, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show, and I'm good.
Hey, good. Excellent. Well, great to have you here. You just celebrated a birthday. So do birthdays around Pippa Mann Racing Corporation, you guys celebrated for a month?
Unfortunately, no. It's just a single day event.
Thank well, I think we need to extend it for you.
I am.
Yeah, I think we ought to extend it for you. You know, why not? We'll just make it for an entire month. But anyway, congratulations. I want to talk to you about, you know, October, something near and dear to your heart is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, a time to reflect on the advancements made in the prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of breast cancer, a serious and deadly disease. As the world's largest nonprofit source of funding outside of the federal government for the fight against breast cancer, Komen is at the forefront of removing barriers of healthcare access and sustaining research to eliminate this disease forever. And I know this is near and dear to your heart, and you have been partnering with the Susan G. Komen group and joining the fight against breast cancer.
Yes, this is actually my third year now partnering with Komen. And for everybody who wonders why a racing driver is partnered with the world's largest breast cancer nonprofit and how that works, each May, we actually turn my racing car and my entire team, we try and turn everything pink in support of Susan G. Komen.
Yes.
And then we try and use that to get race fans involved and get them to take part so we can raise money to donate to Susan G. Komen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how our racing program is more than pink. And then, of course, my partnership with Komen ties into I'm busy with them all year out in the community doing things. And this year, for National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Komen is launching this new movement called More Than Pink. And the point is we're trying to get everybody involved because anybody can be more than pink.
Exactly. I like that. I like that banner heading, More Than Pink. That's clever. They did a great job in coming up with that. And, Pippa, as we know, your fans have gravitated. I mean, they've connected with this, haven't they?
They really have. And I think especially in racing with the fact that, you know, while more than 40,000 men and women continue to die each year in the U.S., one in eight women will be diagnosed in her lifetime. For IndyCar fans, there have been nine female drivers who have qualified for the Indianapolis 500. So statistically, that's one of us. That's one of the drivers whom, you know, the fans support and look up to. And for the few fans that have not had this happen in their families, amongst their friends, it really helped kind of connect with them and drive that home that, you know, this is how prevalent this disease is.
Yeah, I don't know how a family has escaped it, you know, when you consider the impact of breast cancer or any cancer for that matter. So that has been terrific. What Susan G. Komen and what you have done in partnering with them. Now, what are some of the ways your fans have been getting involved with breast cancer education and awareness?
So one of the ways that my fans have actually raised money specifically, and they've been all More Than Pink themselves, is each day we turn the inside of my race car pink with the names of survivors.
Oh, wow. Okay.
People who are fighting or people who have fought breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those names race with me on race day at the Indianapolis 500. That's one of the things we do to raise money. So all of those fans who contribute to that, they're already part of this More Than Pink movement, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know last year at the Indy 500, you asked breast cancer survivors to join you in painting the start-finish line pink. You know, tell us about that experience and what it meant to you, Pippa.
So that experience was last October, last Breast Cancer Awareness Month here in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a great idea that Indianapolis Motor Speedway was part of, although I have to say, they were very nervous seeing us carrying those big pots of pink paint so close to the hallowed yard of bricks.
Yes.
We did just stay on the white start finish line, but that was a really incredible day for all of the Susan G. Komen, Central Indiana survivors who were able to join me that day. And they all got to kiss the Yard of Bricks after we painted the start finish line pink.
Mm, wow.
I haven't gotten to kiss the Yard of Bricks yet, but I'm hoping to one day.
Well, yes, we can't wait to see you, and especially if it's pink. That will have some special meaning because you will be kissing the Yard of Bricks not only for yourself but all the other cancer survivors.
Absolutely.
Mm. Now, let's talk about a special hero who's made an impact in the fight against breast cancer for you.
Well, for me, there hasn't been one specific particular person. When I was a teenager living abroad, my aunt actually passed away from breast cancer. And when I was at her funeral, my two sisters, who are 15 and 20 years older than me, sort of grabbed me and pulled me to one side and said, hey, you know, this is the second person in our family who's passed away from this.
Yes.
This is something you need to be aware of. When I moved to the U.S. in 2009, one of my idols whom I grew up sort of learning about, Sarah Fisher,
mm-hmm.
She decided to turn her entire racing program pink at the final race of the year in October in support of Susan G. Komen to raise money for their cause.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought this was a really great idea. But then Sarah retired from driving and no one was really doing anything. And so you start thinking, well, someone should do something. And then you go from someone to, you know, well, maybe it should be me.
Why not
maybe
me, right?
I can be the someone who does
exactly.
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, very cool that tradition is that you were able to pick that up. And, you know, so here it is. You say, why not me? You step up and, you know, you're being blessed for the process.
Yes. And this is what we're asking everybody else to do this October and here forward is to step up. And you don't have to have a lot of money to step up. You can sign up for a Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. You can volunteer at an event. You can raise money, or you can find something going on in your community. You can even help drive a friend to and from their chemo appointment. This is about everybody stepping up together to try and help Susan G. Komen reach that bold goal of reducing those 40,000 deaths by half within the next decade.
Yeah, and when you drive your friend to an appointment, you don't have to do it like Pippa Man at the speed of light, okay? So you want to do it safely. I want to make sure we clarify this, you know. We're talking to a professional here who runs around, you know, all the time with her hair on fire. This is a normal routine for her. But for you and me, it's not. So just take it nice and easy, right, Pippa?
Yes, no, please obey all of the laws of the road if that's how you're going to contribute and how you're going to be more than pink.
Yeah, do it in a safe, more than pink sort of way. How does it feel, Pippa, to be the lone female driver in this year's Indy 500?
You know, it's sort of cool, but at the same time, I'm used to there being more than one when I'm racing in the U.S. I'm not used to being the only one, so I'm hoping we can change that and we can get more females back to racing cool soon. But the big thing is, if even if it's painted pink, and even if I'm wearing a pink crash helmet, the race car has no idea what the gender of the driver
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
And that's why I love racing so much.
Well, we're going to look forward to seeing you in this year's Indy 500. Congratulations on the campaign, and we encourage our audience to get involved with More Than Pink. And to that
yep.
end, Pippa, as we wrap things up, tell them how they can get involved.
Visit komen.org/morethanpink to find out more. And share your More Than Pink stories on social media using the hashtag #MoreThanPink.
Well, IndyCar Series driver Pippa Mann has been with us to bring awareness to breast cancer education. Pippa Mann, thank you so much for being with us. It's just about 29 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Donate to The Y at ymca.net/give. The Y, for a better us.
It started at Bunko Night. A little tickle my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin, barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Why does the medical community dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? You ever think about that? Isn't it stomach acid's job to break down food before it enters the small intestines? Could this possibly lead to compromised digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss and many other health complications? Well, the FDA has issued a number of product warnings, including all proton pump inhibitor drugs, either for prescription or over-the-counter purchases. These potential interactions have ranged from absorption alterations of vitamins and minerals, metabolic effects on bone density, alteration of drug interactions and their intended effect, infection risk, and even organ damage. Is it possible to find safer solutions to heartburn? At Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of healthy digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acids lead to healthy body. Again, 855-305-8326.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-954-9674. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-954-9674. That's 1-800-954-9674. 1-800-954-9674.
The truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Attention, everyone. Everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. Please do not turn off your radio.
This is Bill Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like me, live and fresh every day, 3 hours coming your way, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Thank you so much for joining in on the good fight to do what we can to get this country back on track. Got a great treat for you coming up next. Neil Ferguson is with us, one of the world's most renowned historians. He is the author of Paper and Iron, The House of Rothschild, The Pity of War, Cash Nexus, Empire, Colossus, The War of the World, The Ascent of Money, High Financier, Civilization. I mean, the breadth of his work is just incredible. A senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, Stanford University, and a visiting professor at Tsinghua University in Beijing. Neil Ferguson, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Well, great to be on the show.
Hey, congratulations on your latest book. I mean, I just touched on so many that you've written, but this one, what a special opportunity for you to write what some are declaring as the definitive biography of Henry Kissinger.
It has been a remarkable opportunity, not only because I was able to get access to his private papers and spend many hours with him, but also because it inspired me to think again about the Cold War and to try and learn some new lessons about U.S. foreign policy generally. This is the first half of his life. I have volume two still to write. Mm. And this covers years of his life that most people know absolutely nothing about. And it's really an amazing story in its own right. I was thinking, having seen the musical Hamilton, I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, no. This Christmas time, I'm going to get a chance to see it. So we're looking forward.
Yeah, when you go see it, I mean, it's a story of a guy who starts at the most unpromising of beginnings, but ends up holding the highest office that an immigrant can hold. That's Hamilton's story. It's Kissinger's story, too. He starts off in Germany. He grows up under the Nazis. He's a refugee who comes to New York City with nothing at the age of 15 in 1938. And, you know, he then is drafted. He ends up serving in the U.S. Army. He's at the Battle of the Bulge. He nearly gets himself killed by the Germans. And at the end of this extraordinary story, he ends up with the job of National Security Advisor and later Secretary of State. So if Lin-Manuel Miranda's listening, this is the subject for your next musical, man.
Yes, exactly. What a story. But, you know, this is America for you. I mean, this is kind of, you might say, a typical rags-to-riches story. I mean, you hear opportunities like that. But, you know, when you see Henry Kissinger in the modern era, you forget that he was an immigrant.
Right, and a refugee at that, somebody who was driven into exile by Hitler, and somebody who worked, you know, he worked in a shaving brush factory in downtown Manhattan and studied nights in Washington Heights. He really had to start from scratch, had to learn English. He only knew the basics when he arrived here. And I think the formative experience of his early life was the army, because you know, there he was with young men from all over the country in some of those, frankly, pretty brutal camps they built to train GIs during World War II. There he was sailing across the Atlantic in troop ship, finding his way to the front line in a country that he had left only six years before as a refugee. It's an astonishing story. And luckily, he wrote letters back to his mom and dad describing his experiences, which I finally got to see in the closing phase of research. These were such intimate letters that he was really reluctant to let anybody see them. And I kept saying, are there any more letters to your parents? And finally, you know, I'd almost finished. And I thought I was kind of done, and he handed me a folder with these extraordinary letters describing his arrival in Germany in 1944 and all the subsequent extraordinary experiences, of which the most searing, I think, was being present at the liberation of a concentration camp. I mean, I certainly struggle to imagine what it must have felt like, you know, having been born in Germany as a Jew, to come back in a U.S. Army uniform and see the sheer horror of what the Nazis had done, and then discover that all his relatives, including his grandmother, had been killed. These are things he's never talked much about, and yet it seems to me you cannot understand the man until you have confronted these experiences and traumas.
Exactly. Well, I can tell you, I've seen footage of, you know, post-World War II Germany and the German government, you know, that took over, told all the, you know, all the citizens of Germany that they needed to go into these camps and see it firsthand.
Right.
And you watch the people walking in, Neil, and they're very casual, you know, just like it's a Sunday walk in the park. And as they come out, you can tell whatever they experienced inside of those buildings was so devastating. They were absolutely reduced to their lowest common denominator. And here it is, Henry Kissinger. That could have been him.
He was acutely aware that had it not been for his mother's initiative to get them out in 1938, it would have been him. So he writes, after seeing this concentration camp, a two-page essay, just types it up, called The Eternal Jew, addressed to one of the inmates who was still living at the liberation. And it is one of the most searing, stunning documents in the book. I quote the whole thing because it's impossible, I think, to understand the man until you realize what he went through in his teens and early 20s.
Well, we're talking with the author of Kissinger, 1923-1968, the idealist, Neil Ferguson, you know, into the personal papers of Henry Kissinger. You just have this sense you're on hallowed ground, and for him to be that vulnerable with you. How long did it take you to get this kind of relationship, Neil, with him, that he trusted you to turn over these papers?
A long time. I mean, and it needed to be a long time. In the end, this book had its origins back in, I guess, 2003, 2004, 2005, and I spent 10 years researching and writing it. And I think somebody who has been as vehemently and sometimes viciously criticized as he has been is inordinately sensitive. And I think he almost expected that the book would turn out in a way he didn't like. He was very cautious indeed. There were times when I thought the relationship would break down.
Wow.
I did a film based on the interviews that I did with him, a sort of documentary entitled Simply Kissinger. He did not like that film. At times, I think he was simply uncomfortable with what I was finding. I was finding out things about him he'd forgotten, and that's always that's always difficult for anybody, but I think for somebody with a thin skin who's been much criticized, even accused of war crimes, it was difficult to let go. And I think that's why it took so long for him to let me see those very intimate family letters. But I'm glad he did it, because
yes.
My view has always been it is better for somebody of his stature to show their human face, to have their human side laid bare, than for them to become caricatured Dr. Evil figures in the public mind. And so this is an intimate biography. It goes into his private life more, I'm sure, than he wanted. But my view has always been we've got to do that, because ultimately this is the life of a human being. No human being is perfect, and no human being is completely evil. Whatever your view of Kissinger, some people hate him and some people love him. You read this book and you realize that he's a human being, and that humanity was what I really wanted to try and bring out.
Well, what I appreciate about today's historian, they seem to be, for the most part, Neil, and, you know, I'll brag on you a bit here, is that you hold to the ethics of journalism and reporting. History is so critical. And yes, it sometimes can be brutal, because that's life and we're imperfect. But it's so important that history gets documented. And here you are documenting the life of a figure that was so integral with our country's history. And I think that to not understand his worldview and the heart and soul of this man that had such an impact on our politics, on our foreign policy, I think leaves a big void, and you're filling this void now.
Absolutely. Dead right.
Well, Neil Ferguson is with us. His book, Kissinger, 1923-1968, The Idealist. Our conversation continues with Neil. This is volume one of the definitive biography of Henry Kissinger. So you know, volume two is yet to come on. But what a fascinating book and insight into Henry Kissinger, based on unprecedented access to his private papers and numerous lengthy interviews with Henry Kissinger himself. And Neil Ferguson is with us, and our conversation continues on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. It's just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour right now.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro-1 G2.0 and Pro-Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details, or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Donate to The Y at ymca.net/give. The Y, for a better us.
It started at Bunko Night. A little tickle my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering, because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Ever wonder why the medical system prescribes ingredients used in killing small rodents to thin blood? I look at some people on this stuff and they're more bruised than a boxer in the 12th round of a 10-round fight. Careful with green vegetables, they must know best. Well, here at Bill Martinez Live, we support the structure function of blood with EFA+. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com. Longevity.
or call 855-305-8326. That number again, 855-305-8326.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Someone has to stand up and say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Keep fighting the good fight. Lord, we need an army of believers. Raise up warriors who will fight on their knees. Lord, call us to battle. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up.
Keep fighting.
Bill Martinez live.
Do not grow weary, my friends. It's Bill Martinez live, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. You know, no American statesman has been revered and as reviled as Henry Kissinger, once hailed as Super K, the indispensable man whose advice has been sought by every president from Kennedy to Obama. He's also been hounded by conspiracy theorists, scouring his every telecon for evidence of Machiavellian malfeasance. Yet, as Neil Ferguson shows in this biography that he's written, the idea of Kissinger as the ruthless arch realist is based on a profound misunderstanding. Neil, in this book, which is Volume 1, Kissinger, 1923 to 1968, The Idealist, you said that, you had to spend some time, building the relationship and trust. And there were moments, highs and lows, like in any relationship. You're getting into the underbelly of this man and getting to know and understand him. But you say that so much about Henry Kissinger remains a mystery, doesn't it?
I think there's another mountain for me to climb in Volume 2, because there are so many extraordinarily controversial subjects to tackle there. Things that in his book, The Trial of Henry Kissinger, Christopher Hitchens wrote about in very damning terms.
Mm-hmm.
So from Cambodia to Chile, the list's a very long one. I've got to tackle some explosive topics.
Mm-hmm.
But, I started work on this process of demystification in Volume 1. There was this legend that Kissinger got the job of National Security Advisor with Richard Nixon by betraying the Vietnam peace process and leaking secrets to the Nixon campaign of what Lyndon Johnson's administration was doing. And I demolished that myth comprehensively in one of the later chapters of this first volume, showing that there was nothing that Kissinger was leaking. What was happening in Paris, the negotiations that were going on with the North Vietnamese, weren't secret. They were well known. The press was all over it. The South Vietnamese knew exactly what was going on. They had multiple sources to know about it. And although Kissinger was approached by the Nixon campaign for advice, for a view of what was happening, he was also approached by the Democratic campaign, if you put Humphrey too, and mm-hmm. and Kissinger was a good person to approach at that time. He had expertise because he had been involved in early attempts to begin negotiations with the North Vietnamese in the summer of 1967. One of the fun chapters in this book shows that Kissinger spent a whole summer in Paris trying desperately just to begin negotiations with the Hanoi government. And ultimately he didn't succeed because the Hanoi government had no intention at all of negotiating peace with the United States. They were convinced that they were going to win the war and overrun South Vietnam, and all they had to do was hang in there. Indeed, they were in fact preparing the Tet Offensive as they were playing around with Kissinger in 1967. So I think there is a really important process here of historical revision going on, where we're taking some things that came to be conventional wisdom about Kissinger in the course of the 1980s and 1990s and showing that they just don't stand up to serious scholarship.
Yeah. Well, Henry Kissinger introduced us to détente, believed that it was about communicating and understanding each other's side. So much is misunderstood about Henry Kissinger. As you met with him and got into his private papers, what was it? What was this drive, you know, that held to his perspective that we could work things out?
I think détente has been much misunderstood as a term. It wasn't even a term that he used very much, because Ronald Reagan based many of his speeches when he was seeking the Republican nomination and then the presidency on the idea that, that the United States had gone soft and the Soviets in the course of the 1970s. If you look at the record, it's not quite like that in two respects. Kissinger had a visceral suspicion of the Soviet Union. That's clear from the earliest encounter he had with it, which was actually during World War II when he saw the Red Army in action in the final phase of the war. He quickly saw that it was another totalitarian regime in essentials not radically different from the Third Reich. And much of his early work is about containing the Soviet threat. Nuclear Weapons and Foreign Policy is a book about how you give yourself options against a very dangerous and aggressive enemy. So I think we shouldn't fall for the old line that he was soft and the Soviets. There's even a conspiracy theory that he was a communist spy, which is complete nonsense. Actually, he was pretty hawkish right the way through the 50s and 60s. But by 1969, and this is the key point, the United States was in an incredibly weak position. Vietnam had gone horribly wrong. It wasn't clear how they were going to get out of it. And the Soviets were making gains all over the world, in Latin America, in Africa, in Asia. The challenge for the Nixon administration was how to get themselves out of the hole that Lyndon Johnson had dug for U.S. foreign policy. And the answer to that question was not to go soft on the Soviets, but rather to exploit the division between Moscow and Beijing, do the opening to China, lean on the Soviets on nuclear disarmament, or at least slowing down the arms race, exploit their economic weaknesses. But I don't think one should think of this as going soft in the Soviets. Rather, it was the way of dealing with what at that point was a really formidable threat.
Exactly. Were you able to discern how Henry Kissinger felt with the fall of Vietnam in those final days as American troops were leaving?
We spoke about this. Indeed, it's one of the interviews that I included in the film Kissinger. He said to me this was the worst day of his life in government, by far, and that this was the tragic end of what for him was more than 10 years of trying to achieve some kind of peace with honor. It was an utter disaster, because of course it betrayed the people of South Vietnam and left them to a terrible fate. We don't hear enough about what the North Vietnamese did when they overran South Vietnam, but thousands of people were killed. And I think when Kissinger tells the story, and this is one of the things I'll be exploring in Volume 2, it's not clear that South Vietnam was completely unsalvageable. I think it's clear that the United States didn't have domestically, politically, the will to win the Vietnam War, and I think that was true already in 1968. But I think that South Vietnam might have been salvaged if Congress hadn't cut off all the aid.
Yes.
And ultimately, when one compares today North Korea and South Korea, it's clear that keeping a country like South Korea going was a pretty good idea.
Yes.
I don't think South Vietnam was completely unsalvageable, but without American aid, it stood no chance. And thousands of people died for that.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, there's no doubt that, Johnson felt abandoned. He just didn't have the leadership to carry it through. The country was so divided. It was war-weary. Media, I mean, every night I remember as a kid growing up, Neil, we're seeing, you know, war footage, and you're thinking, oh, wow, I mean, this is really reality TV at its foremost.
We kind of forget because we're used to being told that this is a time of terrible turmoil we're living through and America is deeply divided. We hear this all the time. I guess it's we're hearing it from reporters who are too young to remember the late 1960s because actually the war was so much worse in terms of casualties than Iraq or Afghanistan were. And the division in America in 1968-69 was so much deeper. Mm-hmm. Race riots and campuses ablaze. One of the things that I'm really learning from writing this book is just how bad things were at the point at which the Nixon administration started. And, of course, once you understand that, you realize that they were playing with a very weak hand in a whole range of respects. We've got to bear in mind that we know the Cold War ended with an American victory. We know that the Soviet Union was a system that ultimately collapsed economically because of its corruption and inefficiency, but they didn't know that then. Yeah. Indeed, in 1969, there was good reason to think that the Soviets were winning in the Third World and that the United States had no real answer to the Soviet method, which was to stir up local revolutions against ruling elites. So I think that's part of the point of this book, is just to remind ourselves, you know, we've been in bigger fixes than we're in today. Mm-hmm. We've been as divided, if not more divided, as we are today. And strategically, the threats that we face today are formidable, but they really don't compare with the threat that was posed by the Soviet Union in the 1970s.
And this is why documenting history, to me, Neil, and I know this is your heart as well, is just so critical, you know, for our country, you know, for the fabric of our country, you know, to remember, you know, where we've come from. The experiences that we've gone through, tough times, and we've been able to rise above it, because there's just something special. I mean, we are a blessed nation, no doubt, and at the very heart and soul of it is the people who continue to fight on. I mean, there's just something that our founding fathers had in mind when they designed a government of, for, and by we the people. Now, let me ask you this. You said that Henry Kissinger did not like the movie. What is he saying about the book?
He went through a quiet period when I didn't hear much after I completed it. But then I think he began to realize that despite the things he didn't like, the details that I revealed that he'd prepared to keep quiet, on balance, this was an accurate portrayal, warts and all. And I think he's now content that I did what I set out to do, which is to tell his life as it actually was.
Well, great job, Neil Ferguson. Excellent book. Highly recommend it to you, ladies and gentlemen. Kissinger, 1923-1968, The Idealist. Now available in paperback for the first time, by the way. I will remind you of that. And available at all the usual places, right, Neil?
That's right, yeah.
As Hillary
Clinton says, at an airport near you.
Yeah, absolutely. You had to get that in. Perfect. Neil Ferguson, thank you so much for being on Bill Martinez Live.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the packed bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.